So I blew up the picture, and sure enough, young gal, older man, looking straight at me. He had a puzzled look on his face like, huh, who's that? And she had a big smile on her face like, I know who you are.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for joining us, and special thank you goes out to all of you who continue to support the podcast and continue to spread the word. Always remember, if any of you out there have experiences of your own that you'd like to share, feel free to email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and you too could be a guest on the show. Got a phenomenal show lined up for you guys today. I am welcoming Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz to the show. She's the host and creator of Paranormal Encounters podcast series and is doing marvelous over there with that. She is the author of 10 books, which are called the Paranormal Encounters series, and is currently working on her 11th. And she is a speaker at conferences all over the nation. So this is real exciting, and let's get right into it. All right. Welcome to the show, Kelly. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm just thrilled. This is pretty fun because you've got a number of experiences in spiritual contacts and encounters and then some UFO encounters. So this is really exciting. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good show, Brent.
Oh, thank you. And I'm really so happy that you decided to get in touch with me. This is going to be fun. So I guess probably the most natural place to start, and it's kind of a generic start that I do all the time, but I always like to know what was the genesis of this journey for you? What happened, or was this always a part of your life?
Well, that's a good place to start, and it's also a nice question. I suppose I could go on forever in answering it, but I'm going to give you kind of the short and skinny here.
Okay.
I would say that if I had to go back in time, just in my own memory, I would say that I started noticing or having experiences around the age of 9. And how I noticed this wasn't in my own childhood home, but rather in my grandparents' house when I'd have to stay there after school. Mm-hmm. And on many of those occasions that I was there alone because they're usually out doing errands or whatever. And I would say that what made me wonder about this place, well, first of all, there's, you know, the old wise tale that if you have an older home, that chances are likely it's going to be haunted. Well, sure. Mm-hmm. It was an older home built back in the 1800s. True. But just because you have an older home doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be haunted. But in this particular case, I learned of the story of it after the fact. And so when I'd stay there after school, I usually started having a lot of stomach pains, a lot of anxiety. I sweated a lot. I don't know. There was just something very odd about being in that house. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I would sit out in their covered porch, which wasn't heated or air conditioned, by the way, just to get out of the house. But things that I would do to try to calm my easiness turn the television up. I would turn the lights on mm-hmm. everywhere. I would sing out loud. And a lot of times I would try to take a nap on their couch to try to get myself, you know, to buy time, basically, until they would come home from their errands. Well, this one time I woke up and I heard some chattering in the kitchen and I thought, well, how on earth did they get through that front door without me hearing them? Boy, I must have really been tired. So I got up and I started wandering to the kitchen. And when I got to the, you know, the door frame and mm-hmm. I looked inside the kitchen, there was absolutely nothing there. And the chattering that I had heard, actually, I heard the chattering all the way to the point where I stood at that doorway of the kitchen, wow, it went dead silent. And I thought to myself, I know I'm not imagining this. This is impossible to imagine. So basically, I took off and I left the house, and you couldn't convince me enough to get back in there. But there was many, many experiences that happened in that house. And I want to fast forward this same experience to when I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, they had both passed away, and we could go in there to take a look at some of their remaining artifacts. And I had to go up to the second floor. And if you can imagine just for a moment, walking up the stairs and seeing at the top of the stairs a curtain, which is their draft curtain to keep, you know, the drafts up on the second floor. Mm-hmm. First, I had to conquer that. And I was there alone in my 30s. I said, I'm going in there. I'm going to face my fear. And I started walking up those stairs. And of course, when I pulled the draft curtain back, I felt, woohoo, I made it. There's nothing that happened. I didn't see anything. And I proceeded into what was called the pink room. Mm-hmm. What is the pink room? The pink room is, of course, a room that's painted pink, you know. But when I was in this room, I smelt nothing when I walked in. I sat on the bed, and all of a sudden, I was being engulfed by something that smelled very deceased, really awful deceased smell. And I thought, oh, very interesting. And I looked around, and I was looking for like a dead mouse or something like that.
Sure.
But what I noticed instead was this curtain. And on the bottom of the curtain, there was like a singe that was from like a fire. And I thought, well, what on earth? And then I just remembered that the house actually was hit by a lightning bolt a couple days before. But it was as if something was trying to put out this fire on this curtain, because these curtains were really old. They should have just, it also just went up in flames. Well, long story short, mm-hmm, while I was in there noticing this, the smell got stronger. I started getting jabs in my stomach. I felt disoriented. I felt dizzy. I felt like headaches were coming on. I just felt very sick. And I said, I'm getting out of here. So I must have leaped down about 5 stairs at a time to the bottom, and I hightailed it right out of their house. Now, I had asked the question, who was in that house and what just happened to me? Well, I did some research, and I found out that the previous owner years ago, back in the 1800s, she was by herself at the time, but there was a fire that happened just outside the kitchen area, and she burned to death in that house in a fire. Wow. So I started making the connection between the kitchen. I started making a connection between the singe on the, although it could have happened from the electrical outlet, but you know, there's things that were just coming together. But she wasn't a nice person, whoever this was, if it was she at all. It was a very nasty, mean apparition, force, whatever being. So anyway, long story short on that, that's kind of how it started. And I hope I answered your question on that.
Absolutely. And what an introduction to the paranormal, though, and especially being so young and hearing those voices. That must have been absolutely shocking.
Well, it was a lot of chatter, you know, this chatter. It's like it was a little group having a party.
Yeah.
That's what made it, but muffled. Mm. Blah, 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 and then all of a sudden just blah, dead stop
right there. That, I find that fascinating. And I often wonder about those events because, you know, certainly, you know, people talk about hearing noises, voices, but sometimes in the paranormal, other people can't hear it, even though they're right in vicinity of it as well. And I always find that fascinating, and it makes me wonder, well, you know, is it possible that these are not physical noises, but are perhaps being projected in some, you know, mental way to the experiencer?
Well, and of course, some people might say, are you clairaudient, mm-hmm, which is the ability to hear these noises? I'm going to lead that into a story in just a moment, because I think that will add nicely to our conversation here. Sure. But I don't really know. I didn't really know I was tele. I had telepathy, which I didn't realize at the time. I currently still have telepathy. I can usually tell without, like, for example, if someone sends me a text, this is just a crazy example bringing it to now, but I can usually hear what the message is before I open up the text message to actually read it. Now, some people might call it, well, maybe that's just a pattern of these people. Others might call it something else. Now, I've realized, and I'm going to bring this into another story, which will help you understand a little bit the complications of what I go through just being me. But so when I was age 14, I was on my father's childhood property. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing at the time from my friends, oh, I've seen a ghost. Oh, yeah, I saw a ghost. Oh, yeah, we have a ghost in our house. And I was actually a little jealous of that. Oh. I thought, why is it that everybody is seeing and having ghost experiences but me? Mm-hmm. So I was wandering around outside this farm property. Okay, I was out in rural, you know, farmland. Mm-hmm. And the house, when it was built in the 1800s by my great grandfather, it was premier of its time. Mm-hmm. He was a carpenter, beautiful house, one of its kind in the county, very much admired. All right. But creepy too. Oh. And so when I was walking the property, I kept saying out loud, this property's a little weird or creepy. Mm-hmm. I wish I could see a ghost. I wish I could see a ghost. And I kept saying that about 3-4 times. Now, years later, when I was in my young 40s, mm-hmm. when they had both passed, there had been a tornado. There's something with electrical events, by the way, whether it's lightning strikes or tornado, mm-hmm. Strong winds or tornado hits or whatever. There is something to that extra electricity. Oh. And I went on the property by myself and I was walking around and I was photographing images. Now, I couldn't go in the house because it was locked up. But I was just taking pictures, you know, of the mm-hmm. property. The house was untouched, and it seems really interesting, but that house was very protected by something, but the trees would always come down, of course. Well, mm-hmm. when I went to have my film developed, I noticed something in an upper right-hand window, and it was a screened window, not a plate glass window like everyone wants to say, oh, it's just reflections of this and reflections of that. No. Mm-hmm. So sorry. Wish I could say yes to that, but I'm much better than that. So I blew up the picture, and sure enough, young gal, older man, looking straight at me. He had a puzzled look on his face like, huh, who's that? And she had a big smile on her face like, I know who you are. Or as a young child at the age of 6, maybe they're always smiling. But
sure.
I came down to the conclusion that they must be relatives, but I couldn't figure out why they showed to me in the window. Very clear image, by the way. Very clear images. I went back to the house a few days later, and I stood there, and I looked at the window, and I said, what message do you have for me? You showed in this window. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And all I kept hearing in the back of my head was, check the genealogy. And I thought, check the genealogy? What? Weird. Okay. I am pretty much the family genealogist, or at least I would say to this point. And I had the name written down wrong under the young gal who showed in the window, which matched a picture I found of her later on, which concluded that it was a genealogy problem, and that was basically it. Now, some people would say, are you sure they weren't tricksters? Mm. Well, I don't think so, even though I did go back to the house a number of times. I will say in this particular case, what happened to me here was not a trickster situation. But you might want to ask me, why did she show at the age of 6 when she died at the age of 10? And why did he show in his later 60s but passed away at the age of 80? And I have an answer for you if you're interested in hearing it.
Sure.
Are you game for it, Brent?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking that the reason why she showed so young, she passed away in a house 2 miles down the road. it's not uncommon to have paranormal experiences or paranormal apparitions show up in your house a couple miles away if they feel comfortable and wanting to be there. Mm-hmm. She showed at the age of 6. Okay, so she died at the age of 10. Chances are very likely it was to be recognized. She was happy. You hear this all the time. Probably most happy and healthiest at the age of 6 until she got deathly sick. Mm-hmm. And he was the same way. And that and the fact that they probably wanted to be recognized in a way where I could figure out who I was looking at. So,
oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, that was in 2007, by the way. And then everything took off from there.
Man, you just started this huge journey. That's incredible.
Well, the first place we went to was a haunted bed and breakfast called Litchfield Plantation. And when he walked inside the villa, he said, "Bring it on, ghosts, and don't ever say that."
I got to ask you, you were young when you heard the voices, but did those experiences just continue to manifest throughout your entire life? Or was it these instances where these things seemed to happen and then it just kind of took off at some point in your life and became a part of your life?
Well, that's a good question. From the age of 9 to when I graduated from high school, I had fewer opportunities to be over at my grandparents' house. So when you turn 18 and you go off to college, you're distracted by all kinds of other things. And so anything about the paranormal back then really wasn't spoken of very freely. And sure. You really didn't want to talk about your experiences mm-hmm. because people thought you're a little bit, you know, on the off side. But as time went on, when I was in my young 40s and I photographed that image in the window of my dad's childhood home, what I came down to the conclusion of at that point was, oh my goodness, something is trying to talk to me. And I can hear these things and I understand their messages. And that's why I called my most current book and very popular. It's called Message Received, because I get it now. And okay, so mm-hmm. what I did in 2007 to this point as we speak is I started ghost. I hate the word haunting.
Sure.
Ghost researching, ghost investigating. Mm-hmm. And I would put myself into a lot of bed and breakfasts that were proclaimed to be haunted. And mm-hmm. sure enough, I figured if I was going into some of these places that stated that they were haunted, I figured by the time I left, I could verify whether or not there was a haunting in there or not due to the interesting and unusual things that would occur. Mm-hmm. And long story short on my investigations, after I went through one of the most traumatic experiences in Wales, my husband and I went over to a very, very haunted bed and breakfast. It was like the building was like 900 years old. Wow. In Wales. Mm-hmm. I had the most traumatic experience of my life. I swore after I left there that I would back off on my investigating and just let this stuff come to me rather than me go to it. Now, I do have to disclaim here a little bit. My husband and I are going to go out to the Grand Canyon and also to Death Valley in a couple months here. And we are going to stay at the Jerome Grand Hotel, which mm-hmm. is known to be very, very, very haunted as well. So I'm going there for a mini investigation. But I would like to tell you about this Wales experience, if you wouldn't mind. Are you up for another story?
Absolutely. We'd love to hear all your stories, all that we can fit anyway.
Okay. Anyway, so this one's my most traumatic. So we go into this 900-year-old bed and breakfast. It was called the Prince Rupert Hotel, and they are known to be very haunted. They have like about 12 apparitions of various ages floating around there doing all kinds of things. When we arrived, I wanted to stay in the most haunted room. They would not let me stay in the most haunted room. Wow. I said, I am doing a book chapter on this hotel. I want to stay in your haunted room. So they put me in the second most haunted room. Now, keep in mind that the moment I arrived, I felt a heaviness in the air. I walked through felt like an electrical cobweb. It was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I actually did see half of the face of this woman. I have her in the book, by the way, which was the maid back in the day. And I became disoriented. And I said, wow, there is something really intense going on as we were walking to our room. Okay. Mm-hmm. You open up the door to the room. You have to ask permission if you can come in. You just can't open the door and go in. Sometimes it won't let you come in, so it'll make sure that the door stays locked. So there's all kinds of things that were happening in there. When we got into the room, I noticed this long, Victorian shaped length mirror. It's like a foot, floor length mirror. Mm. And I took a look at this thing and I said, I don't know, but there's something about this mirror that's just kind of got me mesmerized on it right now. I'm going to fast forward to just after dinner here. They wouldn't let, I had a light bulb burnt out in the room. They wouldn't let the maintenance guy in the room. They had to come down to dinner and get my key. They explained that this thing in the room would not let the guy into the room no matter what. when we went into the room, there was handprints on the pillow. My husband said, oh, they're just trying to scare us. And, this is all up. And I noticed the mirror was kind of in a different positioned a little differently. And I thought, they're just trying to do some hokey stuff here. Nope, they were not. It was not anything along the lines of any carnival show in that room. When my husband threw the holy water at the point that we were going to bed, I was facing this mirror. It was, again, it's just that long length, circular kind of mirror. Mm-hmm. It started swiveling around. What it did to me is it went kind of like na 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 with its shoulders. And then it started swiveling. And what it did is immobilized my husband, putting him into a momentary trance. And I sat there and I watched this thing go around and I went into instant fear, instant panic attack. I didn't move. Mm-hmm. I just turned completely white. Anyway, I put my mask on me when we were going to bed. I did tell my husband, didn't you see what happened? And he was facing in a direction where he didn't see it, but he did see where the mirror ended up. And he went right to sleep because I think the thing knocked him out, quite honestly. Mm. For me, I was up all night, terrified, had my black mask over my eyes. I was begging for it to just please don't hurt me. I felt its cold presence all over on top of me. And in the morning, the wardrobe that was next to me that also had a mirror on it was opened. And I just absolutely could not get out of that room fast enough. However, I had to go back into that room.
Ooh.
So you think I'm running out of the room? No, I had to go back into the room. The manager, who saw how roughed up I was during the evening time, asked me to go back in there. She said she had something she had to tell me. So she brought me over to the mirror. And I said, I don't like this mirror. This mirror was swiveling around last night. I said, this is no joke in here. By the way, not to scare your listeners, but a lot of these apparitions and intelligent orb activity like to hide in mirrors. Anyway, mm-hmm. Side note, her maid, every time she kept bending over to vacuum the floor, the mirror would lift up the bottom part of the mirror, mm-hmm. and hit her in the butt. So if you don't think that that's comical in and of itself, she was mad because she couldn't stand getting hit in the butt all the time. And I said, the one thing you can do is ask whatever's hiding in there to just please stop.
Sure.
But I doubt it. But anyway, there you go. I don't know. Does that give you enough to go on there, Brent?
That's amazing. And I got to ask, first of all, your husband has been your mainstay through these experiences, especially in this case. Was he always a believer himself, or has this become a result of you two being together, or how does he play into this?
He was never a believer when he first met me and I was telling him about this stuff. He's very religious. And I said to him, well, then come on this journey with me. Mm-hmm. And then here's where it all kind of began. Remember when I had the photographed the two apparitions of what I believe have were my relatives in the screened window?
Sure.
Well, the first place we went to for our anniversary was a haunted bed and breakfast in it's called Litchfield Plantation, another known haunted property. And when he walked inside the villa that we were staying in, he said, bring it on, ghosts, and don't ever say that, okay?
Oh, no.
Bring it on. I said, don't say that. I had about 12 different experiences in there. I couldn't get out of that place fast enough the next morning. It made him a believer because we had too many unexplained experiences, especially when the rubber ducky was moved from one end of the room to the other end of the room, and nobody was in that room but us. You explain how a rubber ducky goes from one end to the other. Anyway, sure. He's been on this journey with me. He is a believer now. He had his first visual apparition. He saw this about 3 months ago at a museum in Iowa and on a boat when he was by himself, and he actually had his first visual experience. But he will not deny it now. Mm. He's been with me enough. He's seen enough. And he's been through enough. So, yeah, he's a believer now, but he's still a little bit religious. So let's put that in there, too.
Sure. And that's, I think, a good thing, especially with investigating, is to have a faith. Because, I and this is my personal opinion. I don't mean to impress this on anyone else. But I think having a faith it can be a shield because – you know, that energy becomes stronger with a faith, I think. And that's really fascinating. And I think I love those stories where people are skeptical and become believers, because I think this stuff is so profound because, you know, it demonstrates this part of our reality that we just don't understand. And so it keeps us asking these questions and keeps us searching. So that is fascinating. These are some great experiences, but terrifying, I'm sure. I don't mean to understate the terror. And I got to ask you, you've been looking for this, but in these instances, was it one of those things that, oh man, be careful what you wish for?
Yeah, pretty much. There was a red blood looking handprint on my chest, on my body.
Wow.
And I was absolutely horrified. Yeah, it had a crooked finger and the fingers were elongated. Let me add to this, though, one thing that you mentioned. So I have a strong faith in God, and my husband has a strong faith, but I just want to give you a one-minuter here on a situation where I thought my faith would protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and I were in the haunted Zach Bagans Museum in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and I had my cross on, and I had all of my crystals hanging around my neck, and I kept... What I think I did is I kept rubbing my cross when I was in there. And at first it started out looking like a regular antique kind of store, going in there, looking at all these odd things that he collected that were tremendously haunted.
Sure.
And about halfway through, I started feeling, I was okay at first, so like nothing. But it was when we were in this thing called the coffin room when I started having my experiences. And I could point out chairs where shadows would surface from, and I had a puppet literally turn and watch me as I was in there, and I noticed that. But it was when I went up the back stairs to go up to see this Dybbuk box that I was attacked. And I had every ounce of energy taken from my body. I practically collapsed on the stairs going up. I struggled because I was the leader to get a small group of people to get up to the next level. And I went into a trance for about 5 minutes, shut down production, scared a lot of people, my sister was screaming. I could hear them like through a drum. Whatever came inside of me found its little crack and it got inside of me. Mm-hmm. It took about 5 to 10 minutes for it to kind of resolve. But I'm mm-hmm. telling you, even when you're very much into your faith and stuff, mm-hmm. if you mess with some of this negative energy that we can't always see or understand, sure. if once your guard is down, it will come after you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, you know, I don't think you ever challenge the universe because something will answer. You know, it's one of those things. But certainly it can, you know, a faith can give you comfort. And prayers have been known to work in many situations that I've covered and from different faiths. I'm not saying one faith is better than the other. I just think having faith can be helpful and powerful. But yeah, you're right. I think that you don't put yourself in situations. Now, I got to ask you about that museum since it came up, and I'm curious. I've not been there, but do you think that is a good idea or a bad idea to have all of the paraphernalia and items that apparently have connections and attachments to some really dark stuff in one location? What is your thoughts on that?
Well, first and foremost, he's done a marvelous job. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak on his behalf, but I'm going to speak on what I saw.
Sure.
In there.
Yeah.
He's done a marvelous job bringing together a lot of interesting artifacts that mm-hmm. are proclaimed to be haunted and have negative attachments to them. Sure. He has a lot of this stuff behind glass, which is supposed to kind of soften their effect to some degree. Okay. I think what there's also negative things, something, and has been, because there's a pentagram that was discovered in the basement a long time ago when he had purchased this house that came with this house. And so to ask that to just simply leave or to try to rid it is not real easy to do.
Right.
When you have all those artifacts in there, some people have no effect at all. My sister, she had no effect at all. So why was that? I made her wear a cross. I wore a cross, but I was openly rubbing my cross, which might have put it to the challenge. But keep in mind one thing, too. I have a high frequency. Mm-hmm. I'm very open to messages being brought to me by anything paranormal. Mm-hmm. I rarely have negative experiences, but when I do, they're startling because it depends on how they want to present their message.
Right.
And whatever that was that hit me in the stairwell or came into me in the stairwell that knocked every ounce out of my body. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that was really negative, but I did have opportunists in that place
sure.
want to come to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I won't go in there again from my behalf. Mm-hmm. I can't. It's too risky. I saw what happened. I underwent enough the first time I went in there. And for those that do come out of there, some say, I don't even know what he's talking about, you know. But I have to tell you, just on his behalf, he put together an extremely well-prepared building
yeah.
with artifacts that will make you think twice.
Absolutely. And yeah, I'm not, I don't mean to sound disparaging about it. I think it's fascinating. And I guess I would love to see the place myself. But, you know, I just wonder what different people think about that. And I haven't talked to too many people that have actually been there. So I find it really interesting that you had these experiences, but also pretty intimidating as well. And, you know, you're right. And I've been a fan of ghost adventures since way back when, pretty much when it first started. But I agree. I think that curating and bringing all these items together is a fascinating idea. It just makes me wonder, is it a good idea or could it be dangerous? But it sounds like, you know, it's been a pretty good experience for most people that have been there. I think there's some horror stories that come out of there. I've heard a few.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Some people have been hauled out on ambulances
yep.
and bloody noses and all this. But as far as people saying, oh, there's nothing in there. No. There is stuff in there. It's just a matter of And I was going to say, if you go in there, wear 10 crosses, but don't rub them in openly in front of anything. You'll sure. regret that. But the thing is, it's like, I don't know, if something wants to come after you and wants to prove its point or send you a message. Again, I'm not sure what came after me was completely hostile, sure. but I'm a message receiver, right? Mm-hmm. So I might have had more than one try to talk to me that day. And it just, they found their opportunity on the stairs. That was really weird, you know?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And I really do agree with what you're talking about as far as sensitive people definitely are beacons. And I think it's possibly, like you were saying, a frequency issue. Some people are at different frequencies. And for some reason, the more sensitive a person is, the more attractive that is for these spiritual entities. And, you know, I've talked to many, many people that have had extraordinarily haunted lives. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, they figured out that they were sensitive. They had these, you know, quote unquote gifts. I don't like to use the term gift because it's just, I think this is in everybody, but it's in different variables within each person. And some people are just born with those switches turned on. And it sounds like you are as well. So I think that's very profound, but it does make you a target.
Yeah. Do you have a quick moment here for I can tell you about the extraterrestrial, what I think extraterrestrial handprint that showed Please. Up on my body? Do you want to hear that quick story?
Absolutely. For sure.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it a gift. In fact, I know Zach Pagans even said openly on some show, I wouldn't call this a gift. Yeah, it's kind of like it just depends on where you are and what's happening. Well, keep in mind that after that whales experience, I kind of stopped. I backed off of this for a while. That was mm-hmm. absolutely traumatic to me, but it proved its point. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it didn't scare me out of the room because a lot of people were always being scared out of their rooms, finding themselves sleeping downstairs by the lobby. And I couldn't find the lobby anyway. The place was a maze, but I toughed it out and it didn't kill me, but it almost did. But anyway, just from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So it was June of 2021, not too long ago, when I started. Well, actually, it happened before then, but then something came clear. I smelled something really unusual by my bedside one night, and I thought it was my husband's shampoo. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to tell him to get some different shampoo. This stuff is horrible. My God. And I put my covers over my nose. Well, the next morning when I woke up, you know how you just kind of drag yourself into the bathroom? Well, there was a red blood looking handprint on my chest, on my body.
Wow.
And I was absolutely horrified. Yeah, it had a crooked finger and the fingers were elongated. Okay. And I thought, oh my God, what is this? Now, can you imagine going into a bathroom and not realizing if you have a handprint on your back?
No.
I started looking up handprints, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if this was extraterrestrial or paranormal, mm-hmm. but I've had about three or four what I think are extraterrestrial. It was the crooked finger that got me and the elongated fingers. It was as if something was trying to do something to me. Now I would have to go into a long story about that, but bottom line is I did some research on this and there's only like 900 to 1,000 people who reported having, and this is babies with handprints on their faces, on their backs, on their thighs, on their bellies, everywhere on their body. They can't explain where these things are coming from. I can't explain where mine came from, but it took 3 hours for it to disappear. And yes, I have pictures of it. And yes, I had an illustration drawn of it too, which I also have in my book. But I could go on and on and on and on to you about, is it paranormal? Is it extraterrestrial? And I've got orbs flying around in my house too. Intelligent orbs, not dust, not moisture,
sure.
not backscatter, not, you know, it's none of that. Mm-hmm. They are intelligent. They know what they're doing. They're very much in control of what they're doing. And by the way, they love flying in and out of mirrors. So anyway, I just thought you might be interested to hear that. Yeah, now I have handprints showing up on my body from unknown sources. So if that's not scary too.
It is. And I find it fascinating. And you and I were talking prior to recording the show here, but there is a lot of bleed through between spiritual encounters and people that are having contact encounters with what they believe to be aliens. And it's sometimes incredibly tough to tell which one you're dealing with because there is so much similarity between them.
Yeah, it's a question that I am now asking very openly about how can you tell, for example, with the orbs that are flying around and my night vision camera captures that. I had posed the question to this one gentleman who I interviewed recently. How can you tell if it's a spiritual orb or an extraterrestrial orb or even a terrestrial orb? So they're categorizing them now in terms of that. But I said, but then how can you tell the difference of what it is or who it is? Mm-hmm. If you're very religious, most of the time people are going to pass it off as a family member or something like that, or a relative flying around your house.
Sure.
If it's somebody that's not as spiritual, but more open to the possibility of extraterrestrial questioning, light beings, you know, you name it, they will bleed over into the possibility that it may not be spiritual, but rather extraterrestrial. I don't know. There's a lot to learn, and they're trying to research this stuff, but there's a lot. Sometimes I don't think we're going to ever come up with a definitive answer on some of this stuff.
No, I think you're right. And perhaps maybe it's because maybe there isn't a lot of difference. Like maybe a multidimensional entity, it would seem very spiritual to us because of the fact that they're probably vibrationally very similar to what we experience as ghosts, or at least maybe for our senses, there's not a lot of difference. So to know which one you're dealing with is pretty hard to understand and to figure out. And I have no doubt that there's questions and questions we'll never answer, but you know, the journey is what I find interesting. Now, I have seen with my own eyes two times in my life orbs, like right in, floating right by me. And they look like little suns. I don't know how else to explain it, except in both cases, it was a ball of light about the size of a quarter or 50 cent piece. And it was, first one was drifting right by my nose, about 2 feet away from my face. And the second one was years and years later, which was more recent, coming by my legs around a cabinet and disappearing behind me. And I didn't know. I always assumed it was spiritual as well. But it is interesting what you say. And this is a great point. How do I know that those weren't some sort of extraterrestrial in origin? Now, have you ever seen the craft in the sky as well?
No, but I did have an orb the size of a small clock in my living room that I watched dissolve in front of my face. Mm. So brief story on that. Husband and I just got back from a trip, had the luggage sitting downstairs, said I'm going to bring it upstairs. The living room was dark. Mm-hmm. Everything was dark. You know, I was walking to go up the stairs. Something caught my eye. Preferably, I turned and I looked to the right, and there was a cream-colored size of a small clock, not a real small one, not an alarm clock, bigger than that, one of those small, you know, bigger ones that you put on the, you can put on the wall. And I just sat and I said, "What the?" And I just thought, and I heard telepathically, I heard, "I'm not ready to go yet." Now, I don't know if that came from it to me or me to it, but there's been occurrences that have been happening in this house that you want to talk about spaceships. I think I might have had one above my bedroom giving off the sound of doors and opening. Now, your listeners are going to think I'm way off the map here. I am not off the map. I am telling you. Mm-hmm. If you're above or near or have a vortex or a portal even near your house or whatever, this stuff is real and can happen. But I watched that orb, cream colored, dissolve right in front of my eyes. And then I dropped my luggage and I went into our sitting room, which was in the back, and where my husband was. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. We're not alone anymore in here, because I just saw something that I can't explain dissolve in front of my eyes. And then I turned around and I brought the luggage upstairs. But wow. Yeah. Oh, what you were describing, though, Brent,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
could also have been animal related. A lot of smaller orbs, they're either being born when you see these orbs like that. They can also be, you have to ask yourself the question if you ever had an animal or one of your pets pass away in your home, because I've had experiences with that too. Hmm. Do you think that could have been an animal that passed away in your home?
In both cases, I've only been in this home for about 8 years and had never had an animal or have it pass here, which was where the most recent one was. But in the first incident, it was a house that we were renting. And this was years and years ago, and it was a brand new house. And I had never had a pet at that time in my life, other than ones that we grew up with in my family home. So it could be an animal, but I don't know if they were mine, because in both cases, I'd never had pets in either of the places at the time.
Yeah. Well, what it also could have been is if you were over a portal or a vortex or anything like that. These orbs, by the way, we're getting down to some closer conclusions now about it. A lot of this stuff, if you really are intense into this, they're coming up from the ground. We hear of this stuff coming up from the lakes now. And by the way, there is an association between Sasquatch and seeing blue brilliant type orbs, where Sasquatches have been proclaimed to have been discovered or in the area or whatever, and mm-hmm. people can't seem to see them. There's a reason for that. And usually the blue orb is what is what's being described now in association with that.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I've heard of light anomalies being in proximity to them several times, It's a fascinating possibility. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but I think that there could be merit to it, because I've heard it from several different sources, and some of them were very, you know, well-known researchers that talked about the occurrence. They didn't necessarily explain what it was or try to, because they didn't know, but those light anomalies in the forests, I think that they travel intelligently too, so there's got to be something behind it. It's not just an atmospheric or geological situation.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Sometimes it can't always be explained, and we can run after this a lot, and I don't know if we're ever going to get closer, but some out there feel, some researchers or diehards, I call them,
sure,
feel like they're getting a little closer, or at least they're on the track to something.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing I've learned in the paranormal is there's always so many more questions. It's like I guess anything in life. Once you solve one thing, then you learn the new questions that you have to ask. So who knows?
Well, that's what I've been doing for the last 50 years. Mm. Yes. Well, minus the age 9 to 18 and then maybe up to 24 mm-hmm. range. But that's correct. Just about the time I think I've experienced just about anything you can imagine, something else occurs that brings me right back to square one, and I'm asking more questions.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But this has been an epic journey. I know that time just flew, so that's an indicator of the quality of conversation for sure, and it's been a great talk. I'd like for you to take a couple minutes and let people know how to keep in contact with what you're doing.
Sure, no problem. If you're interested in seeing the cover of my books are sold on Amazon. Go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And when you're on there, you'll see the books. You'll also note on that website that I was to be featured and still will probably be featured at a UFO mega conference next year. They had to cancel it for this year. And also, you can find me on, you're on the Paranormal Universal Press website, You will also see in the upper right-hand corner a tab called Podomatic. That's where I platform all of my podcast shows. And you just click on it, brings you right in. And if there's anything of interest, just click on the title and away we go. They're usually about an hour each. And then if you're interested in just kind of following me at all, go to Facebook. I'm listed under the search bar. Just go Dr. Kelly Schutz or Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I've got two spots there. And then just go ahead and follow if you're interested to see what's happening with whatever I have to report or whatever's going on. So I hope that gives you enough right there, Brent.
Absolutely. And you'll have to come back again and we'll dive into some more specifics, but it's been an amazing introduction to you and your work. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I've had a great time. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me.
Thank you. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows, Journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can.